and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking back in and riding with us for the second hour of tonight's show. A very, very powerful show as we've been having very, very big conversations about everything from identity, leadership, to housing, to power, and then dealing with this whole issue of what's happening to our community in West Baltimore with the residents of Poe Homes not getting the necessary necessity of water running through their faucets. And it's been about 4 to 5 days without water. Some cases, we're talking about even brown-colored water coming out in the surrounding areas of that public housing community of Poe Homes. So we're going to continue to bring you updates throughout this hour, folks, about what's been happening and really getting you on the ground with our morning team led by Mikkel Hunter and my man Larry Lancaster to give us the insight and the latest about that. But, of course, we got to let you know this, folks. Support for WEAA is provided by Downtown Columbia Arts and Culture Commission, presenting Darren Atwater and the Soulful Symphony performing their premier soulful set list on Saturday, June 29th at 7:30 p.m. at Meriwether Post Pavilion. Okay, let's continue to this discussion about what is happening in Poe Homes. As you can hear, folks are bringing water out. They're bringing hand sanitizer. They're bringing mobile. They have mobile showers on hand from Operation Hope. And I want to just open up the phone lines. If you live in that neighborhood, if you're out in that area, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are people saying about this situation that is happening in West Baltimore? Let's go to Larry Williams on the line. Larry, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take? And what's going on, brother?
Yeah, my own question is, if Roland Park had the same situation, would it take the city 5 days to get it fixed?
Yeah.
We're talking about elderly as well as children without water for 5 days, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's very crazy. And this is 2019, Larry.
Exactly.
It's 2019, brother. And to know that these things are happening, it's something else. But you know what? I wanna get to a place where we can get some real answers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want some real answers.
Last week they're gonna raise the prices on water, and then this happens, man. Come on.
Yeah. And I already know that the city is suffering because of the ransomware attack. So, you know, a lot of folks aren't getting their water bills. I don't know if you got yours, Larry, because I'm looking for mine, but I don't know how the city is going to handle this now with this particular crisis. How that's going to affect
the kids and the folks in that area taken care of, man.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, whatever we have to do to make it right for them, they should do it immediately. Why isn't the governor doing something? This is an emergency situation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think, and we haven't heard, and Alex, just want to make sure I'm clear. Have we heard anything from the mayor yet about this situation? No word from Mayor Young.
I saw him on site on TV, but I'm more concerned about the attention the governor is not giving, man.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is right now, Larry, I foresee that this has to be done on a city level. If this is not remedied within the next 24 to, I would say 48 hours, but at least in the next 24 hours,
well, bro,
it's probably going to start to escalate. Because now it's,
you can go from here to Houston to help the folks in Texas with emergency care.
Yeah.
But you can't respond to from Annapolis to Baltimore, which is 30 minutes away. Come on, man.
You're right. I got you. Larry Williams checking in. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. Let's go back to the phone lines. Folks, we're talking about the latest developments in the water crisis at Poe Homes They haven't gotten water there within the last 4 to 5 days. Folks are bringing bottles of water, hand sanitizer, and essentially the issue is that there's a problem with a 20-inch valve that has to be repaired. The Department of Public Works brought in an emergency contractor to help. However, there are reports that we've been getting where there's not a round-the-clock type of thing. It's more of like, oh, it's 6 o'clock, we're shutting it down, we're going home, leaving many of our community members to, quote-unquote, fend for themselves in terms of getting the necessity of water. I don't know too many things you can do without water, folks. And I'm talking about in the operation of a household. But this is absolutely insane. And part of it is the fact of, this is the crazy part, that it shouldn't have gotten to this point, but it had to get to this point because there was some level of negligence. There was some level of denial when this whole situation started earlier this week. So when you have folks that are starting to say, oh, man, well, that's not a big deal. Here you have a community of people that are impacted by something as basic and as needed as water. Water. Now, I don't care what your socioeconomic status is, but every human being has the right to clean water. Every one of us. 410-319-8888. Let's go back to hear what you got to say. Carter from Baltimore, then we go to Donna, then Kevin out of West Baltimore. Carter, thank you for your patience.
Brother Faraji, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Carter?
Man, thank the Lord. Listen, I was calling, really, I told the producer for the first conversation about the genderfication. I don't
yes.
know if you want to deal with that or you can't deal
well,
with
go
it.
Go ahead. I mean, you on the line, brother. You got the platform. I'll let you speak your piece.
I bought a house 25 years ago on Drew Hill Avenue, a brownstone.
Yeah.
A month ago, the city tore it down and didn't send me any notice. And I still haven't spoken to them since, but one time. Every quarter, they were sending me bills for trash people were putting in the yard.
Yeah.
They boarded it up. I was getting bills, but they told me they couldn't. It was an emergency. They couldn't send me a notice. But they had the people out there every other month or so sending me bills I was paying. I'm still stuck with a mortgage. They're going to send me a bill to turn it down. So they've taken all of my wealth. So you all were speaking about wealth.
Yep.
I'm seeking information just to know, well, how do you combat something like that? Because what they did was they went around eminent domain where they have to pay you for it. And they go what's called the quick grab situation. They're putting up a 3-acre park they have planned across the street from the house. But the gentrification of people moving in, you've got Bolton Hill right there coming into the Drew Heights community. I couldn't get a loan to put the money into the property. I borrowed a loan 20 years ago better and put the money in the property. But, you know, I always take responsibility for my actions in it, and I could not afford, because I spent my money building up the bodies of my children by educating them with college and school. A lot of my money went to that. I worked two jobs, so I didn't have the money to consistently pour into the property. But I was sitting on it because I was getting offers for the property all the time. They came and tore it down and didn't give me notice one until after they tore it down.
Mm-hmm.
How do you combat that? Where's your wealth? How do you hold your wealth if it's just snatched from you just like that?
That's a big question. That's a big question. And I think, you know what, here's one of the things that Mr. Graham shared with me before leaving out, that we have to have a new conversation around group economics. We have to have a new conversation around group economics. So that way that there is another platform that's been established. So when issues like this come up, okay, if the traditional institutions are not hearing you or not trying to protect you, then we can go to the alternative institution, which is us. But that has to be established. That has to be supported. But it has to be, that's what I'm saying, that group economics has to be at the forefront of that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Folks, we're talking about the latest situation in Poe Homes, the water crisis there. Our brothers and sisters, our community members there in Poe Homes haven't had water within 5 days. Leslie Ware, the president of the Poe Home Council, said it literally feels like hell because you can't properly wash your dishes, you can't properly bathe, you can't cook, you can't clean, you can't flush your toilet. Man, I've been there. You know what I'm saying? Two things that can get you, like, make you feel like less of a human being. No water and no power. Now, one thing to have no power because you didn't pay your bill. But when you paid your bill, you trying to do the right thing, you trying to, and then you don't have no water. And then on top of that, you don't have the ear of anyone to speak to address this issue. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. All right, look, we're going to take a quick pause. We're going to get another check in from Mikel Hunter from Mornings with Mikel to tell us the latest about what's happening at Poe Homes. Mikel, what's happening?
Yes, we're ready. 88.9 WEAA, absolutely the voice of the community. It is what radio does. When we talk about community, we live it and we are all about it. Right now, we are at the corner of Lexington and Poppleton. We have residents that are here supporting other residents, but we have a young lady that has been working really diligent and very, very hard all day long. Tell us again your name, Rashida.
Rashida Hart.
Okay, she has been with us all day long.
I can tell
that
she's a leader. She just took the phone.
She's a leader, and she has been taking cases of water, wipes to every senior in the community that is affected by the water main break. How has it been for you since Monday without water and working as hard as you are to help other residents?
It's been really hard trying to keep everybody going, trying to keep everybody with water. At first, the fire hydrants was on, so we were just running buckets of water to the elderly people all week. And then the water main completely went off, and we got some water. We started taking it around to the people. Some men in the community, they started to send water out, helping us with the water. It was really hard at first, but now it's becoming a little easier. We have Hope on Wheels. They have machines to wash our clothes. We can wash up, and we can do other things now. I just want to make sure the community has everything that they need so they can continue on going to work and doing their daily necessities that they need to take care of them, you know, better than themselves. But this one right here, this is a hindrance for the community. And then you have the overseers doing all the wrong things. So I thought that it
welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Folks, we just lost connection with our team, the morning show team down at Poe Homes that are just checking in to give us another update, latest developments about what's happening with the water crisis. Folks, let me just say this. So many of our community members have been impacted by this. They actually have a mobile laundromat. Is that correct, Alex? A mobile laundromat that's on site right now down at West Lafayette in the Poe Homes community called, and it's sponsored by Hope on Wheels. So big shout out to Hope on Wheels for coming through at a critical moment. But so many of the residents, if you heard Mikel Hunter, Larry Lancaster, DJ, and talking about how they are trying to just deal with the situation. Again, this is not, like, 20 years ago, folks. This is 2019. Now, here's the thing. You know, the city is talking about that it's going to try to continue to work on the problem. And so I'm expecting to hear from some of the leaders in the community. We already, like I mentioned, Ms. Leslie Ware, who's the president of the Pohon Council. She's saying it literally feels like hell. So we got to figure out, like, how does this situation happen? If this is just about a water main break. Baltimore is a very old city. And I believe that the last time we had a conversation with Mr. Rudy Chow on the show, he talked about the fact how much money is being invested back into the repairing of the pipes and getting things done. So that's one of the big things that we need to look at, because the infrastructure of the city, the pipes and all of those things, very, very old. Now, you can't stop pipes from busting, especially if they're underground. But you can certainly stop negligence from happening when it comes from people above ground. Let's stop acting like we don't know that these things exist. Let's start putting some money where these issues are. Let's go to Lilia from the Department of Human Services. Is that the department? Lilia? Yes.
Hi. Yes, when I heard about it, that's who I work for, and it's literally blocks from Pohon homes. And so I called our constituent services to let them know about it, to see what our agency can do. Because I felt so bad, I was getting ready to go out of town. I was like, well, wait a minute. I was like, do I need to bring some water or
you can
do
bring
whatever?
Some. Yes, ma'am. No, you could definitely, I mean, if you want to help, I mean, bottles of water right now is a premium in that neighborhood, in that community, part of the community. So I would say definitely if you could bring some bottles, some cases of water, that would be fantastic, Lilia.
Okay, so, yeah, so our communications department, I was told, was reaching out to the Baltimore City DSS to see what they were going to do as, you know, as a government entity for the city.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I work for the headquarters.
Yes, ma'am. How does a situation like this happen, as far as you know, Lilia?
Well, my concern is, the gentleman had a good point that was on the news. I'm disappointed that it was just covered in the past 2 days and not all week. But there was a water main break on Bel Air and Fuller Avenue.
Yes, ma'am.
They did it in one day. They worked 24 hours straight until they got that hole fixed.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about them saying a contractor, they do their 8 hours or whatever, and then they go home. They should get the same treatment as everybody else. And that's what hurt me. It's not about where you live. It's just about being human.
Well, and I totally agree, Lilia. I think that if it comes down to there's some level of bias, some level I don't want to say racism, or if there's some level where, you know, one community gets full treatment versus another community. If it comes out that way at the end of this issue, of this situation, it's going to speak volumes about where we are right now in our city.
Right, and I challenge Jack Young and Brandon Scott. I challenge them to make an appearance there to at least show that they're concerned, because I understand that Jack Young was at an opening of the Maryland Zoo.
Yes, ma'am.
They're humans. Those are animals.
I hear that. And hopefully maybe we can hear from the mayor. We've been trying to reach out to the mayor. Thank you, Lilia, for checking in. We have been trying to reach out to the mayor as well to get him to say just a few words and to share his thoughts about it. We have been informed that the mayor was actually there.
Great.
The mayor was actually there. You know, and so I don't know. Again, we have to this information, all this information, this is a fluid situation, as they say. So, you know, things are moving. So my hope is that something gets done at least by the end of the day. And I'm talking about the physical day, like midnight.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we don't go into the weekend where you have contractors that are on weekend mode and then they got to wait till Monday. I mean, that would be a huge, huge travesty. Lilia, again, thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to Donna in Baltimore. Donna, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on it?
How you doing, Faraji?
Good.
Well, and everybody's blaming and pointing fingers at everybody, but we have to understand that malware wiped out contractor listings, you name it.
Right.
So however the city got this contractor, if they're only allowed to work under law up to whatever, 6 o'clock, whoever was supposed to replace them, we don't know, or, you know, whoever, they went off, whoever was supposed to come in, that probably person that group didn't come in. Because remember, everything was wiped out.
Right.
When the city, when this has happened in the past, and believe me, my neighborhood was hit the same way. And when that
the water crisis, Donna, the next group came in. You say,
and this has happened. These water main breaks has happened during wintertime, summer, spring, and the next group will be there. And when that group went out, the next group. So that you, it has, it's tied into the contractor listing that they have. Everybody's been screwed up by this. So we got to stop blaming. It's been done. It's inequity. We got to stop this. The city's going to have to investigate this.
Yeah.
The state's going to investigate this. But we got to stop pointing fingers at inequity, it's racism. We got to stop this.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to get to. You know, Donna,
because it's making people paranoid.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to believe that.
It's putting paranoid, Dr. K. Shohei, everybody all paranoid. We have to stop this. Remember, that malware wiped everything out.
Yeah.
My community went through this. We lost our water. We woke up and nothing came out except air.
Yeah, I hear that.
And
hey,
we were out of water for a whole week. But, you know, we were had a little bit of money, so we went and got our own water and stuff. But
how long was your community down, though, Donna?
No, but, you know, when you have a little bit more money, people, you know, have a little bit more resources. However, we got pissed. Now, there was an incident that happened in Baltimore County off of the York Road Corridor where their gas was knocked out during the wintertime, the coldest part, and they had to be put up in hotels because they could not fix that gas line.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Hey, Donna, I have to let you go. We got to take another pause, our final pause for tonight's broadcast, but when we come back, Kevin, Lolly, Thomas, William, I want to hear what you got to say. Folks, we're just getting the latest developments. Plus, I'll check in with our morning team. Morning with Mikkel. Okay, we're going to still get keep you updated about all that's happening. Look, listen, if you need help in the Poe public housing community, you can reach out to 410-669-2290. Again, residents, you can call 24 hours, 7 days a week. If you need help right now, Poe public housing community, you can call 410-669-2290. Stay riding with me. A whole lot is coming up in the final 30 of For the Culture here on WEAA.
Though we are told to mourn it, we must know that it was a noble sound.
Hello, I'm Doc Manning. Join me every Monday night, 10 p.m. until 12 a.m. In the tradition, jazz music is not dead. We're in a detour and about to come out through interviews, through conversations, through promotion of live music, your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Are you a state-registered nonprofit organization looking to promote your next event? Well, WEAA would like to help. Your public service announcement submission must include event description, date, location, and phone number. WEAA reserves the right to edit all copy for broadcast. Airtime is limited, and we cannot guarantee that all PSA submissions will be broadcast. All requests must be emailed 4 weeks in advance to psa@weaa.org or fax us at 443-885-8206.
Hey loves, it's LaDon Black, and I'm here to tell you all about Jazzy Summer Nights. It is the ultimate night out. It's coming up Wednesday, July 3rd, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. at South Point at Port Covington. It is a night on the water, live music, great DJs, great food, and the ultimate in drinks. You want to check it out. The headlining performers for July, Spur of the Moment, DJ Teddy Douglas, and DJ Big L. You don't want to miss it. It's a grown and sexy night filled with great entertainment and so much more. Jazzy Summer Nights, the July edition, Wednesday, July 3rd, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. at South Point at Port Covington. I'll be broadcasting live starting at 7 p.m. Doors open at 5. See you there. For more details, go to WEAA.org.
Support for WEAA is provided by
Murphy Fine Arts Center at Morgan State University presenting Mesa live in concert Saturday, June 22nd. It's Mesa, plus the music of Sassy Sarah Vaughan, featuring past winners of the Sarah Vaughan International Vocal Jazz Competition, Kiana Linnell, Ariana Nykrug, and Ashley Smith. Tickets and more information available at the Murphy box office or murphyfineartscenter.org.
And members like you. Thank you.
Your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM. The voice of the community.
I do this for my culture. I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source. Peaceful and welcome to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. We've been talking about the latest drama that's in Poe homes right now with the water crisis. Water main break. Folks have been out of water for nearly 5 days. And many people are checking in, sharing their thoughts about it. We have organizations that are on the ground there. Of course, my team, a big shout out to the team of the morning show, Mornings with Mikel, for being on the ground to connect with the residents and to provide some level of assistance in this very, very trying moment. And of course, we're looking for folks to continue to bring their support and show their love for the Poe Home public housing community there in West Baltimore off of West Lafayette Avenue, and try to do their best to make sure that our people have the necessities, especially for the children, for the families, man. You know what I mean? Bottles of water to cook with, to clean with. I mean, it is a very, very sad situation. But many of you have said, look, you know, Donna checked in the previous segment and mentioned that, you know, we have to see this for what it is. It's a water main break. And so that we should not get into a space of calling it at some level of inequity or racism, that these things do happen. It's happened in her community. I know that along the York Road corridor near 33rd Street, they're trying to fix the water main. I know that's happening. Many, some of you mentioned Bel Air Road. They're trying to fix the water main there. But again, going back to the conversation that we've had with the director of Department of Public Works, Mr. Rudy Chow, he said that there are water main breaks that would happen all over the city, and that these breaks happen, of course, at times we are not prepared for. York Road, one on Bel Air Road, one on Hillen Street, one at West Baltimore and North Schroeder Street. Depending on the temperature, whether it's too hot or whether it's too cold, these things happen. But that does not take away the fact of the negligence where some folks, some of our community members are saying that the contractors are not doing a round-the-clock 24-hour service to ensure that water is restored, that they're clocking out and things. So we got to look at all of these dynamics. Let's go back to the phone line. Many of you are checking in. Let's hear from Lolly. Lolly, what are your thoughts about this crisis in West Baltimore?
Well, hey, how you doing, Faraji?
Good, Lolly. How are you?
And the first thing I'd like to say is one of your favorite words, accountability.
Accountability. Right? Yeah,
like
Lolly.
We can't escape that, right?
Right.
And then I go here with the second one, right? Like, now, if 88.9 wasn't bringing the awareness that it's bringing, would this go longer than 5? Do you see, like, how many days would we actually be working on?
Right.
And, okay, like, I love what our sister Donna said. And I'm living out in the county. And it did happen to us out in Woodlawn before.
Yeah.
And we was out of water for, like, 3 days. Nobody gave us no water. We had to buy our own water. But at the same token, you cannot ignore, like, what's going on with these. If you, like, think about it, Friday.
Yeah.
They say drinking out of water fountain in schools is not safe.
Come on, man.
It's lead in there, right?
Come on,
so
brother.
You want to tell me that my people are safe drinking out of a fire hydrant?
No, brother. No.
You know what I mean?
No, like, no, you're
really
making a lot of sense,
to the public?
You're right. Hey, brother, you're making a lot of sense. You're making a lot of sense.
Hey, man, that's all I want to put out there.
Hey, brother, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But, you know what, for real, folks, I mean, I think that it's important for us to keep a level head about what is happening into the situation until we get all the facts. I know some of you might be upset with that, but we got to look at what's actually happening. Because I don't want to jump in or go into a space where we just assuming that one thing is happening when in fact it's not. Now, the information that's been shared with us is that families have received 1 gallon of water per family for days. 1 gallon? Man, 1 gallon doesn't even enough to wash a baby. That's all I'm going to say. Let's go back to the lines, hear what you got to say. William from West Baltimore, talk to me. What's your take on this situation? Hey, William? Okay, let's come back to William. Let's go to who we got. Real Thomas, talk to me. What's your take?
Faraji, how are you, big brother?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Man, they always said that those folks in that area are a bunch of animals, okay? Uh-huh. What they're doing now, Faraji, is treating them folks like a bunch of animals. An animal is something that you open the fire hydrant up and let them drink from it. Not human beings, man. Rudy Chow should have been fired years ago. Why is it that he's allowed, Faraji, to keep his job and be such of an ineffective public works leader? So I answer that one to me, Faraji.
Faraji,
think about it this way. What's going on with those folks down there right now?
Yeah.
This is, you might as well say, Baltimore is the new Flint, okay?
Mm.
One of your callers said it earlier, Faraji, if the water out of the water fountain that flows from the fire hydrant is not safe to drink, why is it safe to drink coming directly out of the fire hydrant, Faraji?
That's what my previous caller said. Lolly said, he's like, how does that happen?
And so, I want to take the issue with Ms. Donna about one thing she said.
Yeah.
You have to look at this as racism, Faraji.
Mm.
Faraji, when the water went out at the zoo, right?
Yeah.
Baltimore Zoo. You know what they did with the animals?
What's that?
They shipped water in for the animals to drink.
Yeah.
So if they care more about animals than they do humans, because Jack Young only went down there to visit those folks once. And the other time, Roger, he was at the zoo of the opening of the new part of the zoo.
Gotcha, so, gotcha. Hey, Thomas, I gotta let you go, brother, but thank you. You know, I guess we're going back and forth. Here's the big thing for me, though, folks. Can we get the water turned back on? Can we get that done? And talk about all the other stuff after the water's back on? Because people need to eat and clean themselves. Jonathan, talk to me. What's your take? Then Mrs. L.
Faraji.
Yes, sir.
Somebody just said, and then I believe it was Real Thomas said, that Baltimore is a new Flint. I look at it even worse than that. Mm. I equate this to the situation they had in New Orleans with Katrina and the Lower Ninth Ward.
Mm.
It was very foreseeable that those levees were going to break.
Mm.
And it was foreseeable that there would be water main breaks.
So you're talking about that level of negligence?
Absolutely.
Got you.
and foreseeable negligence. And then I did just read something in the news. Something came across my news feed that there is bottled water at, I believe, Target, Walmart, and a few other places. And they gave a specific brand, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the specific brand, that has high levels of arsenic in it.
Get out of here. We want to do it. My goodness, Jonathan.
And so if you cannot drink the water in the schools, and you can't, and so obviously the water, city water, in the pipes, fire hydrants and all should not be safe to drink. And you go to bottled water, but then that has levels of arsenic in it that are higher levels than tap water.
Yeah.
There's a question there.
There's a big question. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. And Jonathan, I appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much. If the damage is as severe as the Department of Public Works is saying that it is, then what is the alternative plan to make sure that water is coming to that community? What is the alternative plan? How does that happen? Because you can't leave, and I think, Alex, I heard a number of 1,000 residents that may be impacted right now. 1,000 residents. That's residents. That's not looking at, okay, is that including literally every man, woman, and child? Was that home families or how that is broken into? But if you have 1,000 people that are impacted by that, it's already been 5 days. So then what's the city's plan going to be to address the issue? Like, what is their alternative plan? Okay, fine. The water main break, that 20-inch valve, fine. But there has to be a plan. It's hard for me to believe that there's no plan to offer resources for these residents. It's hard for me to believe that. And if we don't have one, then heads should start rolling. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who we got? We got Mrs. L from Baltimore. Then I want to hear from Monica, Shonda, and then Dwayne. Mrs. L, talk to me, ma'am. Mrs. L? Do we have Mrs. L on the line? Okay, Mrs. L, make sure you give us a call back. Monica, thank you so much for checking in. Is this my big sister, Monica?
Hey, brother, how are you?
Sister Monica. How you feeling?
I feel pretty good, brother. My nose still a little stuffed up, but I'm getting better.
Okay, yes, ma'am. We know this is your neighborhood.
I know, right?
This is your neighborhood, Sister Monica.
Huh?
This is your neighborhood where this is happening, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not quite over in the Poe Homes area. I'm near there.
Yeah, you're an opinion leader. That's why I'm saying to you, Sister Monica.
You're
an influencer
right
in that neighborhood.
This is definitely my neighborhood and definitely my lane. I will say that.
Yes.
The first thing I want to do is I want to give a shout out to Toy Rose and her team, candidate for the 7th District, for stepping up for real, and all of the citizens in Baltimore that stepped up, because if it wasn't for them, brother, those people would be without water probably for 5 more days. If it wasn't all of the attention and all of the airtime that people are actually paying attention, they would be without water for even longer.
Right.
The second thing I want to say is this stuff, you know, I don't want to get into, you know, whether it's racism or not. I don't want to get into it, but what I will say, if it had happened in some other community, that stuff would be taken care of.
Right.
Period. The infrastructure in other communities are not like ours. The infrastructure in this city is horrible, and they need to fix it. It's almost like environmental genocide. All of the hazardous things that are in our community, all of the air is bad, the quality of air, and it always seems to affect like urban areas where it's heavily populated with people of color. All across the country, you can find that. There's so many environmental hazards and so many things that are causing life expectancy to be cut short, and it just don't make any sense.
So really, Monica, what are folks telling you then? I mean, are folks now that this attention has been brought to this situation via social media, via us here at WEAA, and that more and more people are now getting involved, do you feel like folks are going to a little bit more optimistic that the water is going to be restored, or what? What's the short-term goal here?
Well, actually, unfortunately, brother, and I always got to keep it real with you and the listeners, like 100. What I really do believe is that this plays right into the hands of people who don't want to pull homes there anyway. With all of that development that's going on, they want to continue to build up from that President Street corridor, from Fleet Street and from Central, where you got all those really nice, shops and everything. And Pro Homes is something that I do believe that developers want to get their hands on. So they would love to pitch the notion, oh, well, the water's not good there. We may as well shut it down. The same way they did those 100 families in Gilmore Homes.
Yeah.
Instead of them allowing those families to take a voucher, what have you, and move somewhere in the city, they moving them out into the county.
Gotcha.
Suppose those families that you displaced wanted to continue to live in the city. So this would definitely play into their hands. I'm not going to get into a conspiracy and say, yeah, well, maybe they're doing it on purpose. I ain't going to do that. But what I will say is that this does set the stage for folks that would love to see Pro Homes shut down. Me, I would like to see them clean that water up and give those people the life that they deserve.
Amen. Amen. Monica, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in from West Baltimore. Let's go to Shonda, who's just left Pro Homes. Shonda, thank you for checking in here on For the Culture. What did you see when you were at Pro Homes, Shonda?
Well, Brother Faraji, the residents are in survival mode. It's on my way down. I saw a picture of Freddie Gray, and it had survival going across his chest. And when I got there, it just spoke volumes to what the community was doing. They came together, grabbing water for elderly people and making sure that Mrs. So-and-so had some, and just really leaning in. It's a situation, and they're not animals, and nor are they acting like animals. They're waiting for the water to be handed out. I mean, cases of water. What I've learned is that it's color-coded. So if you go and you see a green door, that means that's an elderly person and or disabled person.
Mm.
So I had a collection at the school that I worked at, and I said, you know, these people are without water. Maybe we can do some laundry. So I took it upon myself to go down and do the laundry. One resident trusted me with her personal belongings, and I know it wasn't easy to let a total stranger come in and hand over your personal belongings, even though you are in dire straits and are in a crisis. But she was in need, and she needed that help. And I was happy to hear that a mobile laundromat is now on the scene, so maybe I can pick up another work. But I do thank WEAA because I didn't know anything about it. Mikkel shed a lot of light on it this morning. She put a face on the crisis because when I did watch WBAL's take, it was like crisis diverted. I thought looking at the news, I would have thought everything was just fine until WEAA really did that deep dive and let the community know what's going on. And it's been a steady stream of support. And so we don't beg, and we don't need others to fix our problems. When we lean in, we can get it done. And when I say we, I mean anybody that just has a heart for someone outside of themselves. It doesn't matter what color. They had some, persons down there from University of Maryland leaning in, taking shifts where they were making themselves available.
That's all it takes. Hey, Shonda, you said a mouthful. I thank you so much for the wonderful update. More importantly, I thank you for having the heart to go down there and to help your fellow community member in a time of crisis. That is exactly why we're doing this. That is exactly what this city needs. And we hope and pray that this continues to be the spirit that the city can use and build the momentum from as we go into the summer months, because these things may be happening more often because of the infrastructure, because of all of the policy. I mean, it could happen. It can happen again at any place, at any time. But it's men and women like you, Shonda, that helps to kind of buffer the blow, take the blow, make it less impactful. So, again, we thank you from For the Culture here on WEAA.
Thank you. It's your powerful shares of WEAA that helps us all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Raquel, then Dwayne. Raquel, what's your take on this, ma'am?
Hi. Yes, I would like for every resident to remember that when this happened, it was under Jack Young administration, and that when it's voting time, I want them to remember this. This is insane. No one should have to go 1 week, 5 days, 2 days without water. You pay a water bill, you're supposed to have water.
It's real simple.
This is insane. If this was where I live in Owens Mills, Johnny O would have had it fixed because of the taxes that we pay.
Right. There it is.
This is insane.
Absolutely.
I want everyone in Baltimore City to remember Jack Young when it's time to vote.
Mm. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Have a good day. Dwayne, talk to me. What's your take?
Man, I don't understand all the negativity. I'm kind of blown away. We live in Baltimore City. Yeah, we all know the pipes are old. And sometimes they're going to burst. And sometimes there's going to be problems with them. This is part of the reality of living in one of the oldest cities in the country. Okay? I haven't heard one person say, hey, listen, go ahead and raise my taxes 30-40% so we can fix all the water mains at one time and we never have this problem again. Not one person has said that.
So here's the thing, though. But is it really just empty negativity? Or you're 5 days without any water.
But Roger, you said it yourself. We don't know all the details yet.
We don't. But I can understand. I'm saying that.
So why don't we hold down the negativity for now?
Oh, okay.
And let's wait till we get more information. We just had Stella Graham on talking about being positive. Okay? And all that stuff. We just heard the great report of all the citizens coming out and leaning in and stuff and showing that we can help one another. You know, and then we got all you. If it just happened, have they been out without water for 5 days?
Yes.
That's my first time hearing about it.
Yes, they have been out without water for 5 days, Dwayne.
Well, how are we just not hearing about this?
Hey, look. We're just hearing about it. Some folks have been talking about it on social media, I think as early as last night or something, some part of yesterday. And then it just kind of continued to build that momentum. So now it's 5 days, and I think that, I mean, it's people speaking out. But there are a whole bunch of stories as to how this word got out. But the fact is, the water isn't on, and it's been 5 days.
5 days? Oh, good. Off with their heads. Don't work too negative, people. Off with their heads. God damn it. This is crazy. Off with their heads. I want his head on a plate.
Oh,
what do you mean you don't have no water truck down there? That's crazy.
My goodness. I was not. Hey, Dwayne, I'm letting you go, man. Thank you so much. L, let's talk. What's your take on this?
Community association. They have strong community associations, just like the one that we have. And she's like, that would never happen. And
all right, thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to Jeff and Glen Burnie. Jeff, what you got to say?
Good evening, Faraji.
Good evening, Jeff.
Hey, I just want to kind of back up and give a shout out to a couple callers ago, Raquel, saying, you know, remember, this happened under Jack Young. I heard one of your earlier callers, probably a typical racist, mentioning Larry Hogan, the white governor. I don't know what he has to do with Lexington Street in Baltimore City.
Mm.
The big question is, you know, you've got all these black Democrat politicians in Baltimore City that are running Baltimore City. You know, you got Jack Young and Brandon Scott, Jill Carter. How about Elijah Cummings? Has Elijah Cummings come out and said anything on this?
We have not heard from...
No, Elijah Cummings is too busy bad-mouthing the president, the guy that's given us our strongest economy in decades, our lowest unemployment rate in decades. Maybe Elijah Cummings should stop, take a break from doing that, and get over there on the Lexington Street and demand answers.
Have a good
evening, Faraji.
Hey, you too, Jeff. Thank you so much for checking in. Jeff from Glen Burnie. All right, Mike, talk to me. What's your take, sir?
For one thing, Jeff from Glen Burnie can stay in Glen Burnie and keep his phone on the hook. Because don't nobody want to hear nothing about no Trump. You know, Elijah Dorn, he's that way he needs to be at, on the front line against Trump. Second, I want to say that lady talking about Jack Young like that, you know, I'd like to see her thrust in a position like this and things start falling apart as far as the computer system, as far as the crime, as far as this happening. Don't blame that man because he just got in the door. How long has he been in office?
Who, Jack, Mayor Young?
Mayor Young, how long has he been in office?
In public office?
In public,
30 years.
As the mayor.
Not as the mayor. He just got there just a couple of months ago.
That's right. So don't blame him for what's happening now. You know, you're talking about a poor infrastructure that's been poor for over 30 years. And it's just catching up with us now. Every winter, water breaks. Every summer, water breaks. So don't blame that man for that. He has nothing to do with that.
All
He's
right.
just the leader, and all the leaders get the blame all the time.
Yep. Yes, sir. You're right. Mr. Mike, thank you so much for checking in.
Wow. You're welcome.
Well, folks, we will have to see how this thing works out. We know that there is a greater attention that's been placed on this situation. And I think we can get, we can reserve the conversations about who's responsible after this issue gets remedied. But from based upon what folks have been sharing with us and our very own Dr. K and our staff here at WEAA, Kim Chase, and you heard mornings our morning show team, Mikkel Hunter and Larry Lancaster, they're saying that these things are actually happening, that people are really suffering, and that there was, there have been residents that have reached out to the mainstream media, quote unquote. And I'm going to put that up because WEAA, we mainstream. We not, this ain't no internet.